Hello, everyone, and welcome into the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. I am Davis Maddock, joined as always on Thursday morning by Jacob Sanderson as we break down the main NFL daily fantasy slate for DraftKings on Sunday. Bad weather everywhere really is the theme this week. So there is not great weather for Rams, Baltimore, I believe Indianapolis, Cincinnati. Really, just if you live in the United States and you are not in California or Florida, expect the weather to be bad this weekend. And Jacob, people laughed at me. They mocked me when I was talking about this being an El Nino year during best ball season. They laughed. They chuckled. And guess who was right to fade every Browns and Jets player based on the week 17 weather? This guy right here.
Yeah, the weather is the main reason why you're glad you don't have any Browns and Jets. Not that
no other reason.
Joe Flacco.
No other reason. Yeah,
it is just funny. In my home dynasty league, still uses defense. And so I carry the Steelers and the Jets defense. And ironically, like I had totally forgotten all the summer like chatter about all this weather and everything. It suppressed it. And I got the bye and I went to look. I was like, all right, what are my defenses week 16 and week 17? Or do I need to pick up a different one? And then I saw the Jets like against the Browns on Thursday Night Football. And I was like, oh man, I'm so pumped to have the Jets defense in this game. Like there's going to be this horrible weather. And then I could hear like the little Davis in my head being like, guys, it's an El Nino year. you can't draft this game.
You can't. You just can't do it. So I guess we will begin with a game that is not going to be too disrupted by weather, and that actually not disrupted at all because it's in a dome. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Atlanta Falcons. So a couple things here. The first being Corain was pretty into Bijan when I talked to him yesterday. Mm. And listeners who have made it through 15 mm-hmm. weeks of this program know that this is a pro Bijan show.
You're always into Bijan.
My first instinct looking at the slate was actually not big on Bijan because I'm going to do the Zach Moss thing again without reservation. I'll be playing him on every team. Yeah, it's just like Peter was sort of making the point to me yesterday. It's like, well, he's more expensive. It was more necessary last week to get in Tyreek and McCaffrey in the lineups. To me, I just am like, Moss is either the second or the third highest projected running back of the entire slate. Anyway, depending on which projection system you were looking at, I think he's clearly a better play than Pacheco, clearly a better play than Kyren, than Josh Jacobs, clearly a better play, by the way, than Bijan Robinson, who we're talking about. The issue yeah. I have with Bijan at this stage is entirely related to his absolute ceiling. So he scored 27 points 2 weeks ago, a game in which he scored two touchdowns, a game in which he had actually an unbelievably sick touchdown reception. And like if 27 points is your absolute ceiling, obviously that makes you a play, but not like a giga jam, you know, is sort of where I am at with Mr. Robinson right now.
Right. Well, it's hard because his receiving role within the context of the team is very good. But of course, the context of the team is that they throw 25 passes for 180 yards most right. of the time.
Yeah.
And then his rushing role is not that good, right? He's usually losing between 5 and 10 carries to Cordarrelle Patterson.
It's good in the aggregate. 5
and 10 carries to Tyler Allgeier. Like,
yeah, it's good in the aggregate because they are so run heavy. So if you just looked at the raw totals, you'd be like, oh, he got 18 carries. Right. What are people complaining about? But like he could be getting 25 carries if he had a larger
right.
share.
But it caps the absolute ceiling, right? Like if the script works properly for Zach Moss, like he might get 34 carries, right? Like that's possible. It's not possible for Robinson just because the share is much lower. I mean, I've made the point in the other way from like, at least from a floor perspective where it's like, look, don't worry about Patterson and Allgeier's touches. If they're able to run the ball enough to get Patterson and Allgeier between 5 and 10 touches each, that means Bijan's also getting between 15 and 20 carries. Yeah. And if they fall enough behind, where you know Bijan is can't get more than or they can't run the ball that many times, then that's when Allgeier and Patterson just dissolve from the game plan. But you're right from a DFS perspective that it definitely limits you a little bit. Like the McCaffreyan ceiling is not applied to him, and you could argue that even like a Josh Jacobs, for instance, has like a little bit of a higher raw ceiling because he can get 38 touches in a football game.
he can catch eight passes and the Falcons will never run enough plays. I mean, that is the other. So obviously Mike Evans, I mean, at this stage, I just think Mike Evans, like, you should probably just play him in one lineup every single week because he's unbelievable. Feels like Mike Evans was one of the first guys I really loved in fantasy football, and to not be profiting from this season is really, really hurting me. It sucks.
It's been great for me in Dynasty because Mike Evans finally got old enough that he became cheaper to acquire than for a first round draft pick. Yeah. So that's usually when I welcome these old dudes to my teams. So I have tons of Mike Evans in Dynasty. I have like not enough of him in best ball and none of him in managed. But it's been, certainly I've played him in DFS almost every single week at least. There's just no, he's just like, he's basically Mike Evans back from the pre-Godwin era now. He's like 2016 Mike Evans again, catching, you know,
it's 28%
of the balls on a million % air yard share with all the red zone targets from a bad quarterback. This is like Jameis Evans or Josh McCown Evans or whoever else like he played with back in the day.
What would the Falcons record be if Baker was their quarterback?
Is Arthur Smith still their head coach though?
Yeah. I mean, I think obviously I am so biased towards Baker, but I think he is having such a good season. Like I think the Falcons could be like a 10-win team if Baker was their quarterback. Because Ridder really is that bad. When you watch Ridder, like he really is that bad. Yeah, he is Trevor Siemian-esque or whatever. That being said, I will be playing a little bit of Mr. Shits this week. I won't be playing any Rashad White because he finally is like actually at an appropriate price. At 6,800, he for the first time all year. He's finally like more expensive than guys who have, similar floors to him. Like he's more expensive than Pacheco. He is the same price as Josh Jacobs, more expensive than Bijan, more expensive than Breece, than Mixon, than Charbonnet, than Javonte, than Gibbs. Like at that stage, the 17 point floor that he comes preloaded with actually doesn't matter as much. So that's where I'm at there.
Oh, we're playing Pitts. Like, I feel like it was kind of an underreported story that his role was back to being awesome last week.
Yeah, he's just not.
Like, he ran over 90% of the routes again. Versus, you know, he'd been living at like 60 for a month and a half. Which, I mean, A, it's important that he got the routes. Like that matters. But I also take that as like a bit of a bullish sign that his health might be improving. Like, why otherwise would they change?
I've been getting in deep into film Twitter, and they all clearly are pointing out like he's still not right. Like who's the guy who does the Athletic film breakdown? He's really good.
Nate Tice?
No. I'm totally blowing it right now, but he's pretty good. And he did like a three route breakdown of Pitts, and it was basically just like, this dude clear like can't push off on, I don't remember which knee it is. I don't remember if it's his left knee or his right knee, but like it's still really bothering him. So, but that being said, a guy with that air yard profile at tight end, like tight end stinks. I do think he is probably a pretty legit play this week, especially because tight end has become such a chalk spot. I mean, Brevin Jordan was 40% owned last week. So like you're getting such insane leverage just taking a stand at tight end. All right. The next game, the Rams at the Ravens. I mean, Kyren, jam, Lamar, jam, likely, jam. Puka Nacua. I mean, Nacua is like this unbelievable player. I like every week that he continues to be insane, it gets more crazy to me how good he is.
That was his most impressive game this last week. I agree. Because it was the first game that he wasn't like compiling. Like it was like he was absolutely dynamic in that game. I am pretty like legitimately afraid of this Baltimore defense. I think that they could muck up this game pretty badly. And this game's in Baltimore, right? I'm not crazy.
Correct. Yeah.
Right. So we have weather concerns, we have like Baltimore defense at home concerns, we have West Coast team traveling east concerns and being expensive. All that being said, none of these players are really gonna be all that owned. So I would say that all of those concerns are baked into the fact that like, you know, Puka Nacua's role is better than $7,100, and he's probably
likely
gonna be 5 to 10% owned.
Will be the only chalk play from this game. That's it.
Yeah.
He's the only one. Yeah.
I think Flowers at 5,700 probably comes in 10 to 15% range. But yeah, I mean, if you want to play Lamar, no one's playing him. I don't think you're really getting much ownership on.
Would on Puka you double stack Lamar or just single stack?
I would single stack, I think. Yeah, because you're not, well, I guess likely so cheap now that you actually can double stack, right?
That's the thing, is that likely Flowers, you're adding the correlation, but the likely part, like, almost just doesn't even matter, you know, because he's so cheap, right? And because he will be the number one points per dollar play, like that again. I mean, the Sims thing is just going to be like, everyone knows this now, but the Sims just tells you to play the best plays with a couple leverage spots, more or less. So likely would be what, but adding Flowers in, I actually think the Sims will like adding Flowers in with likely more than playing just Lamar and likely on their own.
Yeah, I'd be totally fine with that.
I see very low shootout potential. Like I would do a bring back. I don't think I would force in Kyren or Puka with my Lamar teams. Like I would just play it straight.
Yeah, like the Ravens, I mean the Ravens offense this year has showed me enough that, like, when pushed, I have faith in them to keep up. And they've had a couple of games, like the Seattle game and the Detroit game, where their defense has just stomped teams and the offense has still scored a lot of points. But there's been far more games where their defense has stomped teams and they're just kind of like muddle through it. If there's weather issues, especially this year, and like I mean I'm open to the notion that this Andrews injury like massively hurts them, like especially on third downs. You know, they don't really have that big target anymore to go to as a possession target over the middle.
Well, like, I think it
likely brings
them,
a different skill set.
It hurts them in like the aggregate. I don't think it hurts them against the Rams, you know, like it hurts their Super Bowl chances, but I don't think it necessarily limits. And for fantasy, you can argue maybe it's even better.
I mean, it hurt them against the Chargers and their defense sucks.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Mark Andrews is like a phenomenal player. Like he is, I think, very underrated in the context of this team. All right, my favorite game of the week. This is going to be the game that I end up the most overweight on relative to the field. The Detroit Lions traveling to play against the Chicago Bears. The last two times these teams played, I played only Justin Fields teams. I might try and psyop myself into thinking the Chiefs can actually score points against the Bills this week, so I reserve the right to change my mind. But Thursday, December 7th, 9:23 a.m. Central Time, right now, I've got three single entry teams reserved. They are all allotted for variations of Justin Fields teams. This game is sick.
Yeah, the Lions defense, not good. Bears defense, obviously not good. So yeah, I don't know. I think you nailed it here. DJ Moore, you know, I like 70% believe the field splits, in terms of just how highly he should be regarded with him in the lineup. I think he's clearly, if you're just doing fields, you can single stack him. I guess you could probably double stack with Kmet too, since they basically only throw to two people. And yeah, I mean, I think all the Lions players right now are like, I don't even know if they're under projected, because I get that the ball gets spread around between the four guys, but they definitely look under owned to me, in the sense that all of their ceilings, like, individually are very high. So I would love to do this game from frankly either side.
Yeah, I would not. So I guess I would not double stack. I would not double stack Justin Fields the same way I don't really think I would double stack Lamar. I think the Lamar double stacks are probably slightly better because of the associated costs. Like DJ Moore and Cole Kmet are pretty expensive. Sounds like Dante Foreman's actually going to play, which means that
he's the lead.
Yeah. So like and Roshan had played ahead of Herbert the last time we saw the Bears. So like that was like kind of exciting, but now it's like literally all three guys are going to play. It's a team that doesn't throw to their running backs much. Like it's just a mess. Gibbs looks like an insane leverage spot because Montgomery keeps getting these goal line rushes, but like the whole Gibbs really just is Devin Achane, but on the Detroit Lions. Like the whole thesis of Gibbs is that he's scoring 40-yard touchdowns and catching passes or whatever. Like, and Gibbs will be, you know, 4% owned or whatever on the slate, I think. Like he is not going to filter in as a top value. I would play Gibbs over Bijan for example of like a spot that I think is better with a higher absolute ceiling.
I think I'm next game. Agree with that.
Next game, I mean, truly, Jacksonville, Cleveland. Zay Jones is 3,700.
We have mega weather concerns in this game. This is like 30-mile-an-hour wind and rain potential.
Yes, and C.J. Beathard is probably starting for the Jaguars. Joe Flacco starting for the Browns. Amari Cooper has a concussion, so we'll see if he plays. I don't like Elijah Moore. I guess you can like kind of go back to the Elijah Moore thing. He got a bump in price. He's up to 4,500. Like the whole air yards bit with Flacco is not going to be as good here. Maybe ETN, maybe four. I don't know. It's probably just no one. Probably just no one from this game.
Yeah, if there wasn't such significant weather concerns, I would be interested in playing like I would have had interest in Ingram because I just think Beathard is just going to really concentrate more on the like without Kirk in the lineup. Yeah. I don't think like with how much Ridley's role is like boundary and deep routes, like I just don't think Beathard is going to be deploying him very much. So I would have been pretty interested in playing like through the short area targets, like either with Ingram or like, you know, Travis Etienne, Trevor Lawrence does not check down. CJ Beathard loves to check down. Like I could see Travis Etienne actually getting like 7-8 carry or 7-8 targets in this game. So I would have been pretty excited to play some of those Jags and maybe even bring it back with like, I think Flacco is like quite good for obviously Elijah Moore. And I know his role wasn't that great last week, but I still think David Njoku would be in play. But if there's mega weather concerns, like, then this game could just like entirely suck and it could just be Jerome Ford and Etienne and D'Ernest Johnson revenge game. And probably a full stay away pending the weather. And if it would mostly be the tight ends.
Yeah. I think Zay Jones at 3,700 is probably like fine. You don't want to play him in a tornado, but like Zay Jones is fine when one of the other guys is out of the line. I mean, literally like, yeah, that's true. This time last year, week 14 is when Zay Jones posted his two best games of the year. So, go ahead and do with that whatever you will. All right, the next game, again, another huge bummer here, Carolina against New Orleans. I don't know how he keeps getting away with this, but like Derek Carr like leaves the field, is in the medical tent, has a broken arm, a concussion, his toe fell off, and he's still on pace to start this game. Like, can we just get a fucking Jameis Olave start, please? Like, enough already. Enough. I need like some 27-point Chris Olave games. I just like on the principle, I'm not playing anyone from this game. I'm sick of it.
I'll play Alvin Kamara.
Yeah.
I think he's a phenomenal play because Taysom Hill's injured. And Taysom Hill is like actually the threat to Alvin Kamara's touches. That's not really Jamal Williams.
Yeah,
he's got 13 carries and like multiple goal line carries.
I didn't know Taysom was injured, honestly.
Yeah, he's dealing with two injuries. One of them is a hand, and one of them is I can't remember if it was a foot or
But I mean, Saints quarterback eligible players, they just never miss games with injuries though. So apparently he's going to be fine.
Right. Well, Taysom. I mean, the slight issue with the Taysom injury stuff is like, you know, his role is already like very like his role fluctuates massively game to game regardless, right?
Yeah.
And it takes such like a small like type of package that it feels like he's the kind of player where like how much of that stuff are they going to install into the game plan if he's
in a week where
like
he's
legitimately questionable. So it's like if he's active, it's like I feel like his role probably still ends up getting reduced. Unless comes back to full practice or something Thursday and Friday, but that'd be something to watch out for. And then I don't know, you're not playing any Panthers. I guess I'm obligated to say that Jonathan Mingo is at
Mingo
25% target share in two consecutive weeks, and he's 3,500, and you can play him if you hate yourself.
Mingo, I think, is actually probably going to be kind of chalky this week. I think he'll probably be the guy that the cheaper wide receiver that you flip the cards over on Sunday morning. You're like, wait, this dude is 18% owned. What am I doing?
Right.
And
for the record, like my opinion on that is like, if you cannot play a player that has shown zero efficiency the entire season, is attached to one of the worst offenses in the NFL and will be 20% owned, then I would suggest not playing them.
Seems
accurate. I'd rather play Zay Jones. It's the same play, right? It's like we're gonna run all the routes and we're gonna play with a shitty quarterback, but he'll have less ownership, I think.
All right, the Houston Texans at the New York Jets. Could have been a fun game in an alternate universe, fun game where Aaron Rodgers stays healthy and he's whipping the ball around the yard with Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall is running for long touchdowns. Sadly, Nathaniel Dell broke. I mean, so tilted at the Texans coaching staff for letting their 153-pound wide receiver be like a push blocker. Literally so annoying. I mean, I got nothing from this game either. Like, maybe you could get away with Robert Woods or John Mechie as like a true punt. I don't know. It's like, this is a tough spot for CJ Stroud. Again, this is another weather spot. This is the total here is telling us that the weather is going to be brutal. I made a bet with Peter yesterday that he gave me 10-1 that anyone other than Zach Wilson would start a quarterback for the Jets. So I said, basically, like, I'm not buying it. Like, Brett Rippon might start this game for the New York Football Jets, even though Salah said on Tuesday that he's starting. I don't buy it. I don't buy it a lot. There's a lot of time left between now and then. That's where we're at with the New York Jets.
He could be dead by Sunday. I mean, if you want, this is the cheapest that the Houston Texans will ever be. I'm not really sure why Brevin is projected for such little ownership. I mean, everybody played him last week, and he only raised up $600, and he's Dalton's quite back, good.
Dalton's back at practice.
Oh, okay. Well, then that doesn't matter.
I was doing some searching yesterday, working on waivers.
Who misses 1 week with a hamstring injury? I thought the minimum was like 2 to 3.
He was already back at practice juggling tennis balls.
Oh, well. All right. Well, that dream's over.
Yeah, if you search Dalton Schultz, you will get a video of him juggling tennis balls at Houston Texans practice. But if he doesn't play, obviously, which is like we've seen this happen, where guys have been back at limited practice. Christian Watson, we literally did this 3 weeks in a row where he was back at practice with the hamstring injury and then didn't play. So actually, to your point, you could be right. In which case, I would roll back. What I did last week, which is I played Zach Moss and Brevin Jordan in every lineup, and I'll probably do that again.
I would definitely play Brevin Jordan again. And Nico is tough. I mean, his role was obviously insane last week. It's weird because, you know, I was like the Nico guy all summer, but I'm still not sure that I like view him as a truly elite wide receiver in the sense that I would make fun of people for being worried about Sauce Gardner. Like, I view him in a way where I am worried about Sauce Gardner. Whereas like if Tyreek Hill was here or if like Brandon Ayuk or, you know, anyone, I'd be like, well, are you worried about Sauce Gardner? So maybe I should be more into Nico. Maybe it's just the weather or everything. Like his role probably legitimately is 7,600 good, especially without Tank Dell. I feel like I have like a mental block with it. And, I mean, I don't think you can play the Jets. Like this Breece, like I know Breece Hall is going to look good in some of the projections. It's just ugly, man. Like they started playing Dalvin Cook more on early downs.
Yeah, I thought that was a lie.
It's a lost season.
I thought that was your classic lying pregame report. And then it was true. Dalvin Cook fumbled and they still, would he get 11 carries in the end, I think.
And it was like reasonable. Like, I mean, on the bright side, they then played Breece Hall more on passing downs, which is like probably a net win because the only area in which he's able to actually create points is passing downs. Like he's averaging like 2 yards per carry, and I don't think that it's his fault. It's just, yeah, it's brutal. I think Garrett is still playable, 5,500. Like his role is so good within the context of that offense. I still think it's playable, 5,500. Just based on pure talent and the quality of like the target share he gets.
I won't push back on it just because value wide receiver is kind of thin this week. It's like some of your decisions are like, it's all kind of the same vein of grossness. It's like, these are the points per dollar guys like Garrett Wilson, JSN, Elijah Moore, Rashee Rice, Drake London, you know, it's Josh Downs. It's all sort of just, you got to squint and see it and you kind of go with your personal bias there, whatever your bias is. Like my bias would be pro Rashi. Now, granted, if he shows up at 17 to 20% ownership, I'm not going to feel that good about that. So more time to ponder on it. This game though does have my number one flag plant of the entire slate, the Minnesota Vikings traveling to play against the Las Vegas Raiders. I will tell you right now, Justin Jefferson, What do you gain from being afraid of Justin Jefferson returning from this game? Again, it's Thursday. It's early. The field's going to have time to react. I see him for 6.5% ownership on DraftKings.com. I'm going to guess that he ends up getting projected to be on 12% of rosters by Sunday. If that holds, which I think it will, I will play Justin Jefferson returning in this spot on every team, every single team that I play this Sunday.
That's fun. Yeah, I have nothing to counteract the fun of playing Justin Jefferson. Why not?
People are, they're legit afraid. They think like, oh, he'll be eased back in. I mean, well, he hadn't played since week six. Is that right? Six or seven. Yeah. So like he got his 21-day window ended like 21 days ago. He is healthy. And I did this whole bit on the Swolecast yesterday. I went through and like, they can totally make the playoffs. They are drawing like
giga live playoffs.
Yeah. So they're not bringing him back and like pulling him off the field so Tristan Jackson can run routes. Like, this dude is out. Like, he's Justin Jefferson. I already know what's going to happen, which is that I'm going to play Justin Jefferson on every single team. He goes absolutely nuclear for 37 points or whatever. And all the stacks that I pair him with just totally dust off. Like, Justin Fields gets like 6.5 points or whatever.
Well, that's would you stack him with Josh Dobbs?
No, definitely not.
How come?
Because Dobbs being in the optimal is almost 100% related to his rushing, like two rushing touchdowns. Yeah. And Jefferson is not so prohibitively expensive that you have to pair him with some vomit quarterback. Like, he is $1,100 cheaper than Tyreek was last week.
Yeah, for sure. I wouldn't be as categorical no on that. Like, there's so many bad games, so many weather games. Like, Dobbs playing indoors.
That's
he's mobile.
True.
He's only $1,500. Like, I think it's fine. Like, I mean, why couldn't Jefferson have two touchdowns and then Dobbs runs for the third? Like, that seems reasonable. I mean, you have bench risk with Josh Dobbs, but my argument would be, like, if you're playing Justin Jefferson, you're hoping that his quarterback didn't play bad enough to get benched at halftime. Like, that's probably not good for Justin Jefferson if someone's getting benched at half. So I think you're just trusting that Josh Dobbs is at least going to be good enough to get you there with your $8,500 wide receiver. So I'm into the Jefferson play for sure, but I'm definitely more into the Dobbs play than you. I like the other side of this game too. Like, Aiden O'Connell has been, as you would say, perfectly cromulent the last couple of weeks.
I would say maybe even a little bit better than that, to be honest. I think he's actually been better than Bryce Young.
He's fine. And I think that they probably, like, I mean, neither of these defenses are scary. Dobbs has been up and down, obviously, but like at his ceiling, which, you know, if you're playing this game, you're expecting him to play near his ceiling. He's been able to move the ball. The Raiders have been able to move the ball. Like, I think Jacobs is a fine play, but this is like a pass funnel matchup. They've had a bye week to prepare. I think Connell should give them enough confidence. Like, to me, they should push the ball down the field. I think Davante Adams is a phenomenal play in this game too. I know it's going to be hard to play him with Jefferson, but his role has been lights out the last few weeks, especially early in the game. And then it seems like they sometimes get away from it as the defense adjusts. But I would hope with a bye week, like, they are able to have time to figure out ways to use him a little more creatively to keep that up, because when their offense has been most efficient the last couple of weeks, it's been early in the game. So they've been able to force feed the ball to Davante Adams. They've been using him more down the field. I think he's a really great play at $7,500.
Yeah, I got no issue. I got no issue with that. I think you could maybe get away with Michael Mayer here in this spot as well. Again, one of the few indoor games. And the Vikings also have been playing these batshit crazy games all year. I think it's a function of their explosive plays on offense with Justin Jefferson, Addison, Hockenson, and the crazy blitz heavy defense. Like, if you're blitzing seven on a lot of plays, you're going to have leaky spots in the secondary. It's just just the way it works. All right, Seattle at San Francisco. Weird spot here because Kenneth Walker and Zach Charbonnet both did not practice on Wednesday.
Yeah.
DJ Dallas Chalk, like, what do you even do with that? Actually, weirdly enough,
I think
Kenny
McIntosh might play a lot.
I don't think so. He's only played
You don't buy the Pete Carroll press conference saying we got to get Kenny McIntosh more involved?
No, I don't. I think Pete Carroll's one of the biggest line coaches in the NFL.
He's
almost the number one line coach in the NFL. So actually, weirdly enough, DJ Dallas's only other career thing in this spot where he had to start a game was against San Francisco. He scored twice. He got 22 touches.
And, I recall him averaging like an egregiously low yards per carry, but finally
22 twice. Carries, 63 yards. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, bad. He stinks. DJ Dallas absolutely stinks. But it was who was the running? It was Penny, Homer, and who was the other guy who was out? Who was the guy who used to share the backfield with Penny?
Well, Chris Carson.
Yeah, that was it. That was it. Yeah. This was.
Like, I remember DJ Dallas week.
Yeah, this was like, I want to say this was 3 or 4 years ago. But none of this even matters. If you play DJ Dallas, it will be, does he score a touchdown? Does he not score a touchdown? If he does score a touchdown, sure. Feeling good.
Against the 49ers, he's going to average like 2.7 yards per carry. He'll probably catch 3 or 4 passes, so that's something. But that's not getting you anything if he doesn't get in the end zone. So,
yeah. I mean, I think a lot of the times he gets 6 points here. It's definitely not like playing Zach Moss last week or whatever, but I'm into it.
No.
Debo or Ayuk for you this week?
It's Debo. Ayuk, if you look at the Seattle splits, they're quite bad. And to me, it makes sense. This last time he played Seattle, going into that game, he was 1 for 8 in his career at hitting 12 PPR points or more. He ends up getting to 13 on a late touchdown, but that was still only with 4 targets and 2 receptions. So, you know, you could just bump up the threshold to 1 of 9 now over 13 PPR points. It's one of his worst matchups. And it makes sense that Seattle defense tends to funnel everything into the intermediate areas. They don't give up a lot on the perimeter to outside wide receivers. And like Ayuk can beat any coverage. It's not an Ayuk issue. It's just like a Shanahan will usually just take the path of least resistance against the defense that he's facing. Like he's not going to try and force ways to get one particular player around a tough matchup because he doesn't need to. Like Seattle is just going to continually give it up in coverage over the middle of the field. Their linebackers do not hold up well in coverage, particularly Bobby Wagner. So to me, it's Debo, it's Kittle, it's McCaffrey over the middle. It's not Ayuk in the spot. I don't like if it's one of those things where like if people internalize that and we were going to get like very low owned Ayuk, then sure. But I think he's going to be similarly owned to Debo. And I just think he's like a demonstrably better play in this spot. But probably the player in this game I'm most excited about playing probably be Kittle. I think he comes in lower owned than either of them. And I think he's like just a truly great play. He's historically owned Seattle. And obviously McCaffrey is an incredible play.
I guess the question then would be, so last week, everyone, because of the Moss thing and the Elijah Moore thing, found ways to get McCaffrey and Tyreek in together. Not Tyreek, not on the slate. Do you think that a similar thing will emerge this week where CMC ends up being like giga owned?
Yeah, probably. And that's fine.
He's sure. Like, oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, like this is. To me, this is the not Christian McCaffrey matchup like in the NFL.
I mean, we literally saw it 16 days ago. Yeah. We all watched it. We were all, I mean, you weren't full of turkey and pie and mashed potatoes, but I was at my in-law's house after I told everyone all day that Zach Charbonnet was a lock and that Zach Charbonnet was really going to do it for us, even against the 49ers, sitting down on my in-law's couch and just being like, well, that ain't going to happen. It's not going to work out for us. I will say, I am a Debo slappy. I will always be a Debo slappy. Ayuk is a great NFL wide receiver. I have cast my lot, with Debo and I'm fine to do that always. So that's where I'm at on this game. What do we got next? Oh, fucking Christ. All right, let's just do it. The Buffalo Bills at the Kansas City Chiefs. I woke up on Monday morning, obviously in a terrible mood as a Chiefs fan. And I'm like, well, surely we get the Raiders at home this week, right? Or surely we get to go play at the Chargers and just dunk on that hapless franchise. Nope. Bills. Absolute nut, must win spot, can't lose this game, backs against the wall, coming into Arrowhead. I mean, I've been having nightmares all week about this. This is brutal.
It's crazy that the team that has hosted the AFC Championship in, what is it, 4 consecutive years now? 5 consecutive years. They're 8-4. They're still alive for the 1 seed. They have Patrick Mahomes healthy. They're at home. The other team is 6-6, has recently fired a coach, and I like cannot picture the Chiefs winning this game.
I can't, the one way I can picture the Chiefs winning this game is if the defense just completely nuts up. Like Josh Allen just spends the whole game being like so frustrated, right? Which
they always play better at home, right? That's like, I don't know. I still don't understand the home road splits of the Chiefs defense over the last half decade, but it's just real to me.
You ever been to Arrowhead?
No, I would love
to. It's crazy. Like I've been to a lot of sports games in my life. It is nuts. Like a big high leverage Arrowhead game. It is like a nuts place to play. I would imagine it's like kind of a human adrenaline element type thing, but it is really nuts. So these are the plays from this game. You got Allen, you got Diggs, you got Gabe Davis, you got Dalton Kincaid, you got James Cook. They're all perfectly fine.
Do you care about Dawson Knox being back, and how do you think that affects things?
Well, so his practice window's open. If he plays, send Dalton Kincaid to zero. I mean, straight up.
Really?
Like, oh yeah. Like Liam is going to set world records for online coping when Dawson Knox returns. Like Dawson Knox is going to immediately come back to 65% of the snaps, 50% of the routes, and Kincaid is going to go back to 3 for 37 as a receiver every week. Just lock it up. It's happening.
Why do you think this?
That's just the way the Bills play, man. I just like the Dawson Knox also makes a ton of money. They like him. They have no out in his contract until after next season. They clearly, by the way, they've done this with Shakir before. So if you remember back to last year's Chiefs-Bills game, Shakir smashes, has a great game in his first start with McKenzie out. Then McKenzie literally has one of the worst games ever an NFL wide receiver has ever had against the Chiefs. He drops two passes. He fumbles once. He muffs a punt return. Truly, you can't make up how bad he was.
Full Sky Moore.
Shakir didn't see a play. Didn't get a breath of that fresh field air. So they have no qualms about sending Shakir back to the bench. I think.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be disappointing. I mean, the one thing though that I would say is if the dig splits. Maybe all these splits are bad to look at. I don't know. I'm probably being hypocritical, but the Diggs has been a way better play with Knox in. And that one makes sense to me because now you're competing with two tight ends all the time instead of competing with Khalil Shakir, who I think is pretty good. So, you know, if you're running routes against like non-target earner Gabe Davis, non-target earner Dawson Knox, and Kincaid, who plays an entirely different role than you, like that's a pretty great setup for Stephon Diggs. So, and like this has to change, I assume. But like Chiefs-Bills game, not looking very owned. Especially on the Bills side. Like, I don't know if it's just the prices, but like the projected ownership I'm staring at right now is tiny.
Chiefs aren't really like Kelce, Mahomes, Rice. Rice
will be owned and Pacheco will be owned.
Yeah. Although Pacheco did not practice on Wednesday, which is sort of interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Did he get ejected from practice? Like, he seems pretty healthy.
So what? Sam Sherman wrote this in the ETR waiver wire column. Like, there's a non-zero chance Pacheco gets suspended for a game also. Like league discipline or whatever for literally.
Has he like had a hearing or something?
I don't know. I mean, I assume that Sam is grinding harder than I am on disciplinary statuses of Chiefs running backs. But like, imagine Clyde Edwards-Helaire chalk week again. You know,
no.
It's like really. Well, McKinnon is. Like
I know. Well, okay. What do you think Clyde's ownership would be at 4,200?
Not enough.
If there's no Pacheco, no McKinnon.
Because people won't want to click him.
Men will literally click DJ Dallas before they'll click Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Not even click. DJ Dallas will be twice the ownership of Clyde, I bet. Yeah. Well, and I mean,
I'll play Clyde.
Right? Yeah, I totally would too. I mean, I am a sick Homer fish. Like I'll play a little bit of Watson. I'll play a little bit of Kelce. You know, like I'll probably do. What I will probably do to placate myself is I will do one team where I go Mahomes, Rice, Kelce, Davis, Shakir, or Kincaid, depending, you know, which one of those guys. And then I'll say, you did your job. You showed your belief in your stupid team that can't beat the Green Bay Packers, can't beat Jordan Love, you know, whatever. But yeah, I like if obviously literally not one person on this earth is going to be surprised if we get to hearing the Sunday Night Football music and Chiefs Bills ended 48-45. Like, literally, like, everyone's going to be like, yeah, totally.
I'm going to raise my hand. I'd be surprised.
No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't.
I'd be pleasantly surprised. Like, yeah. I would be jacked up.
But you wouldn't be like, oh, why? No one could. It would not like, not right. like, not like CJ Beth or Jake Browning being 34-31.
Right. I would feel like a moron. I'd be like, oh,
right.
You mean the two teams that have like dominated the AFC for the last half decade with incredible offenses, like played incredible offense against each other. That's cool, actually. I mean, the one benefit is like, if you're a believer in the notion that Andy Reid just like rope-a-dopes his way through the season and doesn't use the good plays or the good players, like, now's the time, Andrew. like this would be a good time to use the good plays, in my personal opinion.
My personal opinion on that would be is that that has never been true, but that the Chiefs are having a hard time combating the disease of more, right? This is something that a lot of great athletes talk about, and what something that differentiates, you know, your Michael Jordans from your Tracy McGrady's or whatever, which is that after you win the first championship or win your first whatever, it's very hard to continue to dedicate yourself to your work every single day the same way. And I think, to my eyes, that is maybe what's going on with Kansas City, is that it's like, I mean, they've hosted the freaking AFC Conference Championship game 5 years in a row. You know, it's kind of hard to keep that up. I also think
they are struggling to combat the disease of Moore. I just think that Sky means Moore. Yes.
It is kind of like an all-time bad pick, in the sense of that, like, if he was good, it would have like changed the direction of the whole team, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Okay. If you have to stack, if you had to stack this game in one combination in a small field tournament, like, let's not like Thunderdome small, but like just like a normal small field tournament, like the Sky or whatever.
Allen, Rice, Kincaid. Makes the most sense positionally and salary wise, I think.
Okay. I think I would be.
Sims would tell you that's dog shit, by the way. Sims would tell you if you want to do this game, it would be Allen, Diggs, Kincaid, probably no Chief at all.
Why am I seeing Allen project worse than Mahomes? That just feels wrong. I mean, yeah, Allen, like, it's clearly be
it's team total. It's team total based, I think.
Okay, so I'll do Allen. It's tough because I really want to play Diggs in this spot. But
you definitely can.
It's just, it becomes very expensive fast. Okay, my gut tells me Allen, Diggs, Rice, but whether I actually go through and start making way more lineups, that might become impossible, and then it's probably Allen, Kincaid, Rice. But so I see where you get there. I mean, what do we make of Kelce? Like, is he slowing down a little bit?
No, I don't think so. I don't see any. So maybe, I don't see any indication that he doesn't have it.
Right.
I think it's just the thing against the Packers was just like they had two possessions in the first half. Like, it just, you know, like, weird things happen in a football game. I'm cosplaying a little bit as like a Chiefs warrior, you know, like, it is what it is. They'll be fine. The time to start worrying about Kelce is next year, I think.
Well, it would be nice if we actually got Clyde Edwards-Helaire in this game. Because that would allow you to play Allen, Diggs, CEH, Kelce.
That would be nice. That would be nice. Yeah. That would be a fun team. All right. Our final game. Honestly, I don't even give a shit about this game. The Denver Broncos at the Los Angeles Chargers. I'm not playing anyone from this game. Denver stinks. Austin Eckler's running 13 miles an hour. Keenan Allen is more expensive than Justin Jefferson. What do you want from me? Like, I've not mentioned Quentin Johnson's name on this podcast anymore. He's done enough. Although he looked surprisingly cromulent last week, just like
And then he had a horrific drop right after. Wow. I was about to tweet like, Quentin Johnson's back, and then I the ball was inserted into his hands and then like popped out of them. I was like, this fucking guy.
Yeah, the Chargers becoming like a total afterthought is quite sad. You know, it really is, because Justin Herbert is, I was a Herbert hater for a while. He actually is that good, but I guess we should talk about Javonte. Javonte is like stone chalk this week.
Yeah, which is fine, but I would say his role is very volatile. Like, when they fall behind, he does not have much of a role. So to me, like, he's the guy I prefer to play at lower ownership, right? Like, it's just, things can tilt his way massively in his favor. But I think he has there's always enough outs to how he fails that when he's disowned, like, I prefer to play other guys. Like, he's the same price as Moss. Moss also has a great matchup. And Moss is playing all the snaps no matter what the game script is. And, Javonte is, like, dependent on Denver playing from ahead.
If ownership is split at all, like, if Moss is, like, 38% this week, I might, like, I'm going to play more contests than usual. Like, it is one of those things where, like, I mean, they tried to give Zach Moss, like, 9 touchdowns last week. How many carries did he have inside the 10-yard line?
He had 9, I believe.
Like that is nuts, dude. Tyler Goodson and Trey Sermon played 3 snaps in an overtime game. 3.
Yeah. And the game had, like, 156 plays in it or something. Like, yeah, it was, a crazy game.
We didn't make enough of this when we were talking about Indianapolis-Cincinnati. Like, Zach Moss is, like, the nutted play again.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to flag plant him because he's going to be one of the most owned players on the slate, but I will play him at 100% of my lineups.
I mean, right now, he is only projected, like, this is large field stuff, but I see him projected to be 31%. I mean, last week
that's too low.
Yeah, it's definitely too low. He ended up being 77% owned in my contest last week, and I was like, I don't know, it's still pretty freaking low to me.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he fails last week, so, you know, that blows up, but the role is still incredible. Like it's just, there's nothing to me that we learned from last week that would make you want to play him less this week. It's just kind of the way that the cookie crumbled for him. And he gets a top 5 matchup this week. So anyway, as for this game though, I think my favorite, I like Sutton would be my preferred play because his role has been quite strong relative to his team context. When they play from behind, you know, then Javonte becomes way worse. They actually have to throw. Chargers are bad at everything on defense. They're bad against the run. Yeah. They're also bad against the pass. They're just bad. And he's direct leverage off of a high-owned Javonte Williams. So Sutton would be my preferred play from the Broncos side. Look, I get that it's gross.
Don't say it.
He had 3 weeks straight of 20-plus PPR points. Just 3 weeks ago. He was not any less washed then. Like, I'm playing a lot of Austin Ekeler this week. I don't care that he is, like, probably would lose to you in a 40-yard dash.
Oh, well, I don't think he would. Although Austin Ekeler and I are, like, kind of the same height. The thing is that the Sims are going to tell you Ekeler is a good play, but the Sims don't have eyes.
The Sims aren't telling me he's going to be high-owned. Like, this isn't the Tony Pollard, like, oh, Tony Pollard is DOS, but also he's 20% again. By the way, Tony Pollard's good again. Just putting that out there.
Yeah, I'm not gonna go there with you. I'm feeling optimistic about advancing, like getting Tony Pollard as a low advance rate, high ceiling guy in the best ball playoffs, but I'm not ready to be like TP is back. You know,
sports miss tackles numbers all of a sudden are getting
nice. I literally, like, no person has caused me more mental anguish over the last 4 months than Tony Pollard. Like, I can't do it. All right,
$7,600 Austin Ekeler against one of the worst run defenses in the league at 6% owned. You're not interested?
I'll just play. I might rather play Bijan, honestly. I might rather make the efficiency bet on Bijan than the volume bet on Ekeler, I think.
It's fair.
These days I only play like 4 or 5 teams, and I'll play Moss
like
on
two
all
Ekeler
of them.
Teams to me.
I don't know. One of them's got to be I probably will do a James Cook team, like, independent of that game as a total copium bet. Like, James Cook just runs for 180 yards on my favorite team. So, you know, we all got to protect ourselves our own way. I am flag planning Justin Jefferson and Justin Fields. Those are my flag plans this week. Those will be the guys who determine if I win or lose money this week. Who are you flag planning?
Okay. Yeah, well, I'll do one good one and one gross one. My good one would be Davante Adams on the other side of that game. And then my gross one is Austin Ekeler. Legitimately a great play this week.
I don't even, like, yes. Yes, he is. But this is a total do as I say, not as I do, because I don't got the guts. I don't got the heart. to click. Austin
Eckler. I will like hate myself like on Sunday if he has 18 carries for 31 yards. Like I'm gonna hate myself.
14 for 18 against that New England Patriots front.
Oh, I watched the entirety of that game because I was talking about my failed main event playoff death. And everything that we had going at the time, we didn't have that much going at the time, but all of what we did have going was bad, except for the Chargers defense. The Chargers defense was the only thing that was like raising my dopamine. So I watched that game in its entirety because I could just tune out the rest of the bad things happening. All the touchdowns Laporta was scoring against us and just really focus on Bailey Zappe feeding us 1 point per sack over and over and over again. So I watched Austin Ekeler in all of his glory plow into his lineman for 1 yard per carry, and I still want to play him this week.
I've got a gambling buddy who went to that game. Can you imagine?
I know a guy who went to this game too. My best friend in law school's brother was in Boston at that game.
Not me, brother. Not me. I will not be attending any of these Polar Vortex games. Hopefully, I will maybe be attending a Kansas City Chiefs Philadelphia Eagles Super Bowl rematch in a short 2 months' time. We will see about that. Everyone, make sure that you are subscribed to Thinking About Thinking, and we will be back next week.